Good afternoon, and thank you very much for the invitation to speak here at Milano. I would like to thank Fiorella, the Sindio, for the invitation, and also the city of Milano. And I first of all have to apologize. I've been here for 5 months in Italy. I still cannot lecture in Italian. Maybe next time.
Next time,
I can take questions in Italian for sure, and I could understand what you said, but still I cannot lecture in Italian. I will start my presentation. My presentation is the different designs or the different formats of political participation in Brazil. And I will start my presentation perhaps trying to locate you a little bit more on where we were in Brazil in 1985 when we started participation and where we are right now. Have been, as I told you, for 5 months in Italy, and I've seen a lot of pessimism. So, and we are also very pessimistic in Brazil in 1985. So I'll start from this point. Yeah. In 1985, as Brazil democratized after 21 years of authoritarianism, Brazil was one of the least participatory countries in the world, yeah, and the least organized countries in the world. In a research carried out in the city of São Paulo in 1973 by the University of São Paulo, 93% of the respondents say that they did not participate in any association, they did not have any kind of relation with their political representatives. So this is where we started in Brazil after our democratization in 1985. Today, 27 years after democratization, Brazil became one of the most participatory countries in the world. Yeah? We have 200 experiences of participatory budgeting, around 1500 experiences of participatory city plans, and around 10,000 councils in health, social assistance, and urban planning. So the fact that we don't have participation does not mean that we are not going to have participation, and this is where I would like to start from. My second point here is how we built participation in Brazil and which are the available formats of political participation. And in regard to the formation of political participation, I would like to call attention to the issue of constitution making. Yeah? Latin America has a slightly different tradition of constitution making than Europe or the United States, because we revise our constitutions. Yeah, so we depart from a tradition in which we think that if our constitutions are not have not been able to deliver the political format or the political institutions that we need, constitutions need to be revised. So when Brazil democratized in 1985, we started a constitutional assembly and we changed our constitution. And the problem that we faced as we started to rewrite our constitution was our political system. Yeah, and one of the problems is Brazil has a political system, especially a national congress, with very low legitimacy. Political parties exist, but they are not taken very seriously by the population, and especially the national congress was not really trusted as a place from which new policies may emerge. And that's how, and somehow I have to tell you, after 5 months in Italy, that I also see lots of similarities. So our problem was what we can do to diminish or lower the dependency of the country as a whole from its political system or its political class, and the issue of participation emerged at that point. The Brazilian Constitution has 14 articles that introduced some form of political participation, from Article 1 that is the most important one, that says that sovereignty rests on the people and it may be exercised through its representatives, but also through other more direct forms of participation. Yeah. So Article 1 of the Brazilian Constitution already pointed out in the direction that people could participate and design institutions directly. From there, we introduced participation in all of the chapters on social policies. So but we have a long document. The Brazilian Constitution is the third or fourth longest constitution in the world. It's 500 articles. I don't know how many you have here, but this is long, believe me. India has a longer, and today Ecuador and Bolivia also have longer constitutions, but we are one of the longer constitutions, and the constitution has chapters on most of the social policies, health, social assistance, urban planning, environment, and child and teenager policy. Each one of these chapters has a part on political participation that created the condition for the cities, for the states, and for the national government to introduce participatory policies in these areas. So this is the first point that I would like to stress here, that in order to be able to have a strong process of participation, it's important to ground it in a legal tradition, and many times also to change an existing legal tradition. Yeah, and I have been in France in October, and one of the interesting things that I learned in France is that there is now within the French Socialist Party a committee to propose constitutional changes in the case the Socialist Party will win the next presidential election. So we can see that the idea that constitutional changes are important for participation is not just a Brazilian idea, but it's also an idea that is making important inroads in Europe as well. So it is from the constitution making process in Brazil that started in 1987 and led to a new constitution in 1988 that we can speak about participation in Brazil. And to speak about participation in Brazil means to speak about three different types of design. And this is something that I really want to stress here, because Brazil has many participatory designs, but I know that one of them became world famous and everyone talks about it, participatory budgeting. So what I'm going to do in this talk is I will talk a little bit about participatory budgeting, but I will also show that it's one of the limited forms of participation that we have in Brazil, and we also should pay attention to the other formats. Yeah. So the three formats that we have, I call them bottom-up, power-sharing, and ratification. Bottom-up and participatory budgeting is clearly a bottom-up form of participation. Bottom-up form of participation has four main characteristics. First, it's open-ended at the grassroots level, which means, as many of you know participatory budgeting. Participatory budgeting starts with open assemblies in the regions. So it's open-ended in this sense, that each one of the citizens who wants to go to the assemblies, it can go. The assemblies are open, so participatory budgeting is a bottom-up, open-ended form. The second characteristic is participatory budgeting has low involvement of the government, and low involvement of the government has two different meanings. Of course, participatory budgeting needs government initiative, and without government initiative, participatory budgeting could not exist. As a matter of fact, most of the participatory formats need government initiative, but once participatory budgeting is implemented, the government has low involvement, and by low involvement means that the assemblies are civil society or citizens assemblies, yeah, the government does not participate. In addition to that, after the assemblies, there is the formation of a citywide body that we call Participatory Budgeting Council, and in this council the government does not have a voting, it has a seat but just only talking rights. So this is what really points in the direction of low level of government involvement. And the fourth element is participatory budgeting needs and bottom-up designs need very strong civil society and very strong involvement of the government. And what I'm going to show to you is that many times all these characteristics are not in place, but maybe we can also introduce other forms of participation that can compensate or offset from this lack. So here I have just a small table on the expansion of participatory budgeting in Brazil. It started in 1989-1990 with very few experiences. It went to 13 experiences after some time. And we have today in Brazil 201 experiences. Brazil has 5,500 cities. So participatory budgeting has been introduced in Brazil. It is important in Brazil, but it has been introduced mostly in the south and southeastern parts of Brazil. Yeah? So here we have a Brazilian map, and with this Brazilian map, Brazil is the opposite of Italy. Yeah, the south is more developed than the north, and the north and the northeast are underdeveloped. Yeah, we don't have a meridional problem in this regard. So this is the map of Brazil, and what we can see is we have very little experiences of participatory budgeting outside the south and southeast of Brazil. Most of the experiences are in five states, yes, Rio Grande do Sul, Santa Catarina, Paraná, São Paulo, and Minas Gerais. These are more developed states, and these are also states that have higher human development indexes. So all this I'm pointing out for you to say that participatory budgeting is a form of participation that's very important in Brazil, but it's one that exists in certain parts of the country and is successful in these parts of the country. When we move to power sharing designs, we move to a design that is different from participatory budgeting and different in many respects. The first respect is less participatory in the sense that it's not bottom-up. It's more from the middle. It's more civil society and the state. And many times when I lecture here in Europe, I point out that I think that power-sharing designs are more similar to the European experiences of participation that I know than bottom-up designs, yeah, for many reasons, because civil society is more organized, because state initiative is more important, and because civil society associations usually have more say and more participation in committees, in councils, and this is what I understand by power sharing. Power sharing designs are those that allow for more limited forms of participation at the grassroots level, which does not mean that there is no participation at the grassroots level. The most important form of power sharing design in Brazil is health councils. Health councils exist in at least 98% of the Brazilian cities, so around 5,300 cities in Brazil have these councils. These councils, they have originated from the 1988 constitution, especially from a chapter that says that in order to implement health policies, a government needs to establish a body that has parity in between state and civil society actors. So this is the most important element of power sharing design, is that councils are constituted with the same number of actors. So if in a large city like São Paulo, we have a health council with 70 members, 35 are state members, 35 are civil society members, and these members, they need to discuss and to come to some sort of consensus on the policy that's going to be carried out. So, differently from the power sharing, from the bottom-up design, what is the important characteristic of power sharing design is the state has a lot of influence, but civil society also has a lot of influence. And in these designs, what we have frequently is what we call civil society representation. We may talk about it later, but this is the idea that civil society also represents cities, citizens, and that this representation also may have legitimacy in the decision making on policies. Yeah, so different from bottom-up designs, what we have here is government involvement together with civil society involvement. So civil society actors, they share decision making. And the fourth important characteristic of bottom-up designs, of power-sharing designs, is that they are legally institutionalized. Yeah? Participatory budgeting is not legally institutionalized in the sense that most of the time, and I think that we almost have the same legal tradition, so this explanation will make sense. When I am in the United States, I have a tough time explaining it. But most of the time, participatory budgeting is introduced by decree. Yeah, it's a decree issued by the mayor, a decree issued by a state governor, and this decree has limited capacity because it can be revoked by another mayor or by a state governor. But when we speak about power sharing designs or health councils, they are built, they are required by the constitution, and they need to exist in order for federal transference of resources to or in order for federal resources to be transferred from the federal government to the cities. So, the tricky thing about health councils is that if they are not in place, or if they don't approve policies, or if they are disempowered by local governments, federal government can suspend the transference of resources to the cities, and this is an important sanction element, and sanction many times is important for the success of participatory institutions. So here I have table on local policy councils in Brazil. They exist in health in 98% of the cities. They exist in social assistance area in almost 95% of the cities. They also exist in other policies, especially environmental and child and teenager policies. In all these areas, there are transferences from the federal government. It's in Portuguese. So health, saúde, social assistance, assistência social, education, labor, environment, tourism. So,
So,
orçamento é bilancio. So in all these areas exist councils in Brazil, and these councils are very important for the specific policies. These councils, they work I think very well in large cities. We don't have much data on how they work in small cities, but most of the time they work if civil society is organized enough in a city to make an important representation in this area. And the third form of public participation in Brazil that I would like to talk to with you is what we called ratification designs. And the ratification is, again, ratification has a lot to do with the 1988 Constitution. It is the direct result of some of the chapters of the 1988 Constitution, especially the chapter on urban planning. The chapter on urban planning is a chapter that had at its main aim the democratization of the access of the urban land to the poor in Brazil. As you know, Brazil has very large cities. In addition to that, Brazilian cities grow very fast. Yeah, São Paulo had 4 million people in 1964, and today has in between 15 and 16 million people. City of Porto Alegre had 250,000 people in 1964. Today it has 1.3. Belo Horizonte had around 300,000 people in 1964. Today it has over 2 million. So Brazilian cities grow. And Brazilian cities grow very fast. And the problem is how to organize their growth. Yeah? In this regard, I think Brazil and Italy are different. I've been to lots of cities that have about the same population in the last 50, 100 years. So the cities are not growing. But still, the fact that Brazilian cities grow create problems, especially for for land tenure of the urban poor. So still in the 80s emerged an important movement in Brazil called Movimento Nacional pela Reforma Urbana, National Movement for Urban Reform. And this movement went to the Constitution and could approve many important devices in the Constitution that organized in a better way urban growth, among them the concept of the right to the city. The idea is that individuals have the right to the city, and the right to the city involves the right to participate in important decisions on urban planning. And one of these, the Constitution also required that every large city in Brazil with more than 50,000 people should have a city master plan. And a city master plan needs to be approved through public audiences. So what are public audiences? Public audiences are meetings that are called by the city, and citizens go there and they can either approve or reject city master plans. And this is exactly what we call the ratification element in participatory policies. Yeah? Ratification is different from power sharing and bottom up, because in ratification there is not the deliberation in the process of designing the plan, or the power sharing in the process of designing the plan, but the plan needs approval. And the fact that the plan needs approval means that governments cannot do whatever they want. As a matter of fact, there is also a mandatory and a sanction element in ratification designs. The mandatory element is city cannot just commission a plan, send to city council and approve it. It needs the public audiences, as I mentioned, but also there is a sanction element, and the sanction element is if a city does not carry out public audiences, the legal system can block or even cancel the city master plan, and there have been many cases like that in Brazil. Yeah? Salvador, for instance, in Northeast, had its city master plan canceled by the legal system. São Paulo had phases in the elaboration of its city master plan canceled by the legal system. So the legal system becomes actively involved when city master plan are elaborated, and this is very important because many times some regions of the city are going to become regions for development, and then there is, let's say, the land flipping interest. Other parts of the city, there are going to be important prohibitions for new constructions, and this also bothers those who like land flipping. So the value of the land and those who own land in the city are very interested in city master plans, and either they go or they try to block the public audiences. Then public audiences for city master plans are very important in Brazil. So far, there have been if I'm not wrong, 2,148 participatory city master plans in Brazil. 800 are under revision right now, which means that many of the city master plans pass through revisions, and these revisions are also very polemic. As a matter of fact, the law in Brazil requires every city with more than 50,000 people to revise its city master plan every 10 years, and then it can evaluate which part of the cities grew, which parts of the city did not grow so much, and this becomes a process of evaluation. So here what I have is a map of Brazil with all the regions and the number of cities, of Brazilian cities located in each one of the regions. Brazil then has five main regions, but most of the cities, as you can see, are located in the south and southeast. 54.6 of the Brazilian cities, 21.3 of the Brazilian cities are in the southern region, and 30% are in the southeast. Together, this makes more than 50% of the Brazilian cities. We can also see that city master plans have been carried out more in some regions, more developed regions, cities with higher human development index, the cities with the regions with more organized civil society are those who have been carrying out city master plans. So what we can make from this idea of three different forms of participation, that we can apply them different situations. The first thing I defend is that participation has to be applied according to context. And though this seems according to political and social context, and though it seems rather obvious issue, it has not been that obvious, because some of these forms of participation became much more important than others. Some are more well known than others, and here we people who spoke before me talked about communication, yeah, and this means that many times policymakers, they think that they just have a choice between participation and non-participation, when as a matter of fact policymakers have a choice between participation in different formats. And I think that this is very important, which of the formats to choose when we want to introduce participation. My point is, participation through participatory budgeting is very empowering, but it's also very demanding. And it's very demanding both to civil society actors and to policymakers. And many times policymakers don't want to commit themselves so much to this very broad form of participation, and they think, well, then there is no way I cannot carry out participation. My point here is no, participation can be carried out in many formats, and we need to know these formats better, and I'm not claiming here that my three designs are the only ones. As a matter of fact, I think that, and I would be very happy to learn that there is a fourth or a fifth format, yeah? So I think that we need to understand better what are the formats of participation and when they should be carried out. My second issue is we can also introduce participation in stages. Yeah, and most of the time, and most of the Brazilian cities, when we look back to these 27 years of participation in Brazil since democratization, none of the Brazilian cities introduced participatory budgeting, health councils, city master plans, social assistance council at the same time. Yeah, with time, all these formats were available, and all these forms of participation, they work in Brazil, but they were not introduced simultaneously. Yeah. So my second point here is participation can be introduced in phases, and as the population responds to the different formats, policymakers may be able to move from one phase to another. Yeah. And I think this is also important, because a city may want to introduce participatory budgeting without having all the conditions. And one of the important ideas is perhaps a city master plan may be a good starting point from there to move to participatory budgeting or to other forms of participation. So my second point is we should pay more attention to the issue of stages in the introduction of participation. My third point is we can use participation for many things. We would like to use participation always to bring more distribution of access to public goods, public infrastructure. But the case of City Master Plan in Brazil also shows that sometimes it's very important to use participation to block some policies that policymakers want to introduce, And the blocking issue is very important. I'm here for very little time, but I've heard about the plebiscite, and one of the issues of the plebiscite was whether to introduce or not private water policies, if I'm not wrong. Yeah. So somehow, I think that's exactly the same issue. Yeah. Population should be consulted not only for what it wants, but many times it's also important to consult the population on what it does not want. And many of these formats of participation work very well for that, especially ratification designs. And my fourth point is it's important to introduce participation into law, because when participation is introduced into law, we can guarantee a long-term implementation of the processes if the legal system is willing to help. Yeah, and this has happened in Brazil many times. Workers' Party administrations introduced participatory budgeting or health councils in a few cities, but other conservative administrations did not want to have anything with participation, but once it was introduced into law, it could be guaranteed by the legal system, and once it is guaranteed by the legal system, it can be incorporated into the legal behavior of the citizens or the legal expectations of the citizens, and then citizens would be the ones who are going to demand participation because they would know that they have the right to participate. So I'm not going to go much longer than that, but I think that these are ideas that are important to be discussed if we want to forward participation here in Europe. Thank you.